Morning. Today's daf is Zvachim Lamed Tes. We start today on Lamed Ches Amud Beis. We are at the two dots. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, so we are discussing the following today. Two discussions today, but one of them is going to revolve around the statement of Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Papa, who's going to seem to augment Rabbi Yochanan's position, and that's going to be the majority of today's daf. And then the second half of today's daf, we're going to be talking about the hazos that are done on the mizbeach panimi, but that comes up later. Right now, we're discussing the chatos chitzona, and as we know, as we've been discussing that in the last number of days, so there's a requirement of an application of blood in all four corners of the mizbeach, the chatos chitzona, the chatos that's offered on the outer mizbeach, and that's most common chatos that are offered on the outer mizbeach. So they are going to be. The Kohen's going to go around with the blood collected from the animal and apply the blood to the four corners of the Mizbeach, Dal Kranos. So as we learned in the course of the Mishnah and the ensuing discussion of the Gemara, the Fishitas Beis Hillel, which is the accepted position, so of those four applications that are done, so only one of them is essential. The other three, in Hazaz numbers 2, 3, and 4, are la mitzvah. It's the mitzvah in the Torah to do so, but it's not does not provide the kapara. The one application that provides the requisite kapara is only going to be the first application. That means, said the Mishnah, you go all the way back to the beginning of the fourth parak, that means that any machshava which is going to be posel must occur and only can occur during the first hazah. Any machshava that occurs in the subsequent hazah is simply not going to be regarded as it's not an essential hazah. With that stated, so what we're going to be discussing on the course of this morning's daf is going to be the following. It's a simple discussion, and that is, halakhically, how do we look at hazahs 2, 3, and 4? In other words, they're not for the purpose of kapar, they are for the purpose of mitzvah. So are they going to have all the full standards and regulations as a regular hazah would, or no? In other words, is halakha going to be slightly more relaxed regarding hazahs numbers 2 through 4? Basically, conceptually speaking, what is the hazah of 2, 3, and 4? So that is going to be the Gemara's discussion, and we start with a statement by Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan's statement is a really condensed statement, as he only discusses three applications, and then in just a moment we're going to get to Rav Papa, and he really expands. But still, we'll start with Rav Yochanan. I'm Rav Yochanan. Shalosh matanos shebechatos. When it comes to the three applications of a carbon chatos, again we're talking about 2, 3, and 4. So einam ba'os b'laylos. You can't bring him a night. Can't bring him a night. Says Rashi. Very simple. Because we know that once nighttime comes, so dam becomes pasul. Dam becomes pasul ashkias achama, meaning dam that you're going to be doing an application with on the mizbech, dam specifically as an avoda on the mizbech, so it becomes disqualified at night. So in other words, even though it's not lechapara, but it's certainly an avoda, so therefore, according to Rav Yochanan, you can apply 2, 3, and 4 at night. If you did one right before shkias achama and you're left now 2, 3, and 4 and you haven't done it yet, and the sun already set, so what do? So you discard it, meaning you can't apply it to the mizbeach.
If you do that, then the person gets correct. What happens if you do that? If you leave it overnight at night, do the 3 and 4.
In other words, the point is that there's not going to be a penalty if you do it. In other words, but it's just simply it's not an avoda. In other words, it shouldn't be done. It should be discarded. No, the carbon, remember, the carbon's kapara. No. The carbon's kapara has already been achieved with one, and that's it. In other words, the carbon's good now. Right. Now, halacha number two. Uvas lachar misa. And it can be applied after the owner died, as we explained yesterday, but let's reiterate. We know that with the carbon chatas has an exceptional halacha. Actually, there are five exceptional halachas as it relates to carbon chatas. And that is under certain circumstances, the carbon chatos is to be discarded. In halacha, it's what's referred to as chatos hamesa. It's halacha l'moshtim Sinai. And under five circumstances, the chatos is relegated to being disposed of. You can't offer it. One of the examples of a chatos hamesa is where the owner dies. The owner dies before the carbon chatos is brought. So such a carbon chatos is disposed of. It's simply discarded. How it's discarded, we'll learn later in the Masechta and later in Seder Kachem. But in the meantime, however, it's simply discarded. Now what the Gemara here is describing is, let's say, you did the first hazah while the person was alive, and rachmanis, the person died between hazah number one and hazah number two. So are you going to carry through, you're going to sprinkle hazahs 2, 3, and 4. So one argument you could have made is, no, you're not going to sprinkle it, meaning the owner of the carbon chatzas died, that's it. We discard the carbon chatzas. But what Rav Yochanan's teaching us is, no, that's not true. Rav Yochanan's teaching us is that you're still going to be doing the application of 2, 3, and 4. Why? Because again, kapara comes with number one. Since kapara is number, done with number one, you've achieved kapara. You did offer number one while the person's alive. Now 2 and 3 and 4 is a lemitzvah, but it's not la kapara, so therefore you're going to sprinkle it 2, 3, and 4. Number three, the third halacha Rav Yochanan, mala ben mehen b'chutz chayev. The third halacha Rav Yochanan is the following. We know that there are two serious issur when it comes to offering something outside the Beis HaMikdash. There's shchut echutz and there's halachutz. Shchut echutz is shechting carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash, outside the area of the Beis HaMikdash. Halah b'chutz is offering a carbon outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Well, part of the offering is the sprinkling of the blood. If I took the dam of a carbon chatas, not the first hazah, but hazah is 2, 3, and 4, 2, 3, or 4, and I offered any one of them outside, so that would be a violation of halah b'chutz, and one would be subject to a karis penalty for doing so if they sprinkled it outside the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning why? Because it's an avoda. As an avoda, you're not allowed to do an avoda outside the Beis HaMikdash, so one would be chayv if they did it outside the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, oh, does it become possible? In other words, once the blood leaves, yeah, sure, the blood. It's possible, but in other words, but still, in other words, you're correct, it's possible. I mean, that's true by any shchut echutz and any halab, not any shchut echutz, but any halab echutz, so that it would have been possible through Yotze, but still.
The carbon becomes more mifreya?
Again, I'm sorry, again?
Hmm? The gentleman asked if the carbon would become possible.
No. The dam. He was asking about the dam. My understanding is that he was asking about the dam. Yeah, right. Okay, all right. So that brings us to the three halachas of Rav Yochanan, and now Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa over here is going to be more expansive. Basically, it's the same basic idea as Rav Yochanan, but Rav Yochanan only gave three examples of basically how to regard hazas 2, 3, and 4, and Rav Papa now is going to give us many more. So he's going to yesh mehem b'tchilaso v'yesh mehem kesofo. Some is like the beginning, some is like the end. Meaning, in terms of hazas 2, 3, and 4, in many halachas, I counted 8. So in many halachas, we're going to be treated like tchila, meaning it's going to be treated like the first hazah. And in terms of all the rules and regulations of the first hazah, they're going to apply to hazas 2, 3, and 4. On the other hand, some of them, I count 4 over here, although you can debate with my numbering, but some of them are going to be treated like sofa. Sofa over here means like the shayari hadam. Shayari hadam, we know that with the carbon chatzis, after the 4 applications, any of the blood left over in the coast, in the klisharis, is going to be poured down the Yisod HaMizbeach. Being poured down the Yisod HaMizbeach, is that essential? Is that providing kapara? The answer, of course, is no. It's not providing kapara. In other words, it's a mitzvah, but it's certainly not essential. It's easy to even say it's not even a voda. In other words, it's just simply part of the achilas hakarban. Part of the consumption of, achilas HaMizbeach. Part of the consumption of the Mizbeach is just simply to collect, to receive the Shayari Hadam, any of the blood that's left over. So over here now, in other areas of Halacha, Hazas 2, 3, and 4 are going to be treated like Shayari Hadam. So let's now go through Rav Papa's list. First, how 2, 3, and 4 are similar to number 1. The Gemara is going to count 8 different Halachas. Number 1, Chutz, the Halacha of Chutz. So as we already discussed, if you offer a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash, one is going to be subject to a karis penalty. So if one takes hazas 2, 3, and 4 and offered it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, it's subject to a karis penalty, like Rav Yochanan taught us. Number 2, Laila, can be offered at night, again like Rav Yochanan taught us. Number 3, Zarus, a non-Kohen cannot offer hazas 2, 3, and 4, and if he does so, he'll be subject to Misa Bidei Shamayim, like we discussed earlier in the Masechta. Even though the Hazah is not providing a kapara, but it's still an avoda, and if a non-Kohen were to do a avoda, they'd be subject to the Misa Bidei Shamayim penalty. That's number 3. Number 4, Kli Shares. The Hazah must be done from a Kli Shares. We're only talking about Hazahs 2, 3, and 4. Number 5, Karen, it has to be applied to the corner of the Mizbech. Number 6, Etzba, has to be applied with the finger of the Kohen. Number 7, Kibbutz, the Halach of Kibbutz, which we will be discussing in more detail later in the Masechta. There's a special halacha of kibbutz where if the blood of a chatas falls on the clothing of the kohen, so the kohen has a mitzvah to expunge it, to wash it out of the clothing. As we will be learning in today's daf, that's only for blood that's destined to be sprinkled on the mizbeach. Any blood that is not yet prepared to be sprinkled on the mizbeach, any blood that already has been sprinkled on the mizbeach, does not have a kibbutz requirement. This kibbutz requirement is only for dam chatas that is fit and ready to go onto the koronos hamizbeach. The begadim always have to be clean. That's correct. In other words, but this is a special halach of kibbutz begadim for the dam chatas. Pasuk in the Torah dedicated to this idea that the dam has to be scrubbed out. We'll talk more about it later in the Masechta. But Danny, you're right. Shirayim, and finally the eighth halacha is shirayim. Shirayim, Rashi over here explains, means like this. We already discussed earlier a scenario in which after you shech the kachatas, you collect the blood in 1, 2, 3, 4 cups. Okay, in other words, you don't have to use 4 cups. You use 1 cup. I guess it depends how much blood comes out. Again, I have no personal experience with this, but if you were to collect the blood in 4 cups, and then from each one of the cups, you sprinkled one of the different koronos of the Mizbeach. So what's left in the cup, it's what's called Shirayim, meaning with the requirement to pour it down the Yisod HaMizbeach. Let's say, after sprinkling from one cup the first Keren, so that obviously, the leftover blood of that cup is for sure Shirayim. You could have made the argument that, well, if I'm sprinkling from a second cup to the second Keren, a third cup to the third Keren, you could have made the argument that's not really Shirayim, meaning these aren't really Hazaz, meaning they're not providing kapara. And again, what we're learning together is that that's not correct. You can make the argument, but it's simply not correct. Meaning that the correct way to look at it is that it is a hazah, which means by definition that anything left over in the cup is shirayim, which needs to be poured down the yisod mizbeach. Fine. So in these 8 halachas that we just went through, kitchilasan. So in other words, hazahs 2, 3, and 4 are going to be treated like number 1. However, in other areas of halacha, it's not going to be treated like the tchila, but rather it's going to be treated like the sof. Number 1 is Misa, meaning like Rav Yochanan taught us, but here now Rapapa corroborates, so in terms of the death of the owner, meaning if the owner died after Hazah number 1, but before Hazahs 2, 3, and 4, so the Hazah is going to continue. Ain Kapar Lacha Misa, and isn't it a Chatas Amisa? And the answer is no, because Kapar has already been achieved with Hazah number 1. So therefore you can finish off the Hazahs 2, 3, and 4. So that is one halacha in which we're going to treat it like the Shayarim. Number 2, Lo Shaye. It doesn't permit. Meaning, this Hazah does not grant permission for the Imurim to be offered up onto the Mizbeach or for the Basur to be consumed. As I pointed out yesterday, but I'll just simply reiterate today. It's a little bit strange to hear this. Meaning, you know why it doesn't permit? Because it's already been permitted. Meaning, because you already did Hazah number 1. So, in other words, Hazah number 2 doesn't permit because Hazah number 1 is the Matir. That's what permits. So maybe the Gemara is just simply making that point as clearly as possible. Number 3, lo mefagla, doesn't create pigle. Meaning, as we learned together in the Mishnah, this is already a point that goes back to the Mishnah, is that if there's a machshava of chutzim zman or chutzim kamo during Hazahs 2, 3, and 4, it's simply not regarded. In other words, because a machshava is only going to be a posel, only in a circumstance where the machshava is had during a voda that creates kapara. We're now post-kapara. So therefore, the machshava is not regarded. And finally, number 4, lo ayla legavai. In other words, if this blood were to go into the heichal, the blood of a carbon chatas, where if it goes into the heichal, we normally say now that the carbon becomes pasul. Meaning, we're talking here obviously about a chatas achitzona. If the blood goes into the heichal, the carbon becomes pasul. However, that's only blood that is destined to go on to the Mizbech, and specifically on the first Keren. In other words, the first Hazah. If you already did the first Hazah, and then subsequently blood goes into the Heichal, it doesn't disqualify. Why? Because in this regard, we're treating it like the She'arim, and we're not treating it like the Dam HaMechapir, and therefore it doesn't pass the carbon. So in these halachas now, we're going to be treating the Hazahs 2, 3, and 4 like the Shayare Hadam. Adkan, that takes us now through the list of Rav Papa. So we have a list of Rav Yochanan, a list of Rav Papa. They really coordinate with one another. In other words, just Rav Yochanan was just a much shorter list. He only talked about 3 halachas, and Rav Papa's was much more expansive. 8 on the side where it's like number 1, 4 on the side where it's like Shayari Hadam. But in any event, they're basically saying the same thing, which is that in certain areas in halacha, we're going to be treating the Hazah like a Hazah. In certain areas, halacha, we're treating it like a Shayari Hadam. And it's just simply a question of which halachas are we dealing with. I'm Rav Papa Menamin Allah. Now Rav Papa says, now how do I know? Now how do I know? Meaning, what would be a good source?
Can we go back to number 8?
Yeah.
Today?
Huh?
Can we go back to number 8 today? The Shirayim? I wanted to ask. Mm. Why is it Shirayim? Because it's Shirayim of number 1. Why do we have to say it's Shirayim of number 1 plus number 2 or 3 or 4?
Right. Meaning, let's think this through. Meaning, if you were mekabel already in the second kos, and then you did Hazah from number 1. It sounds like from the Gemara. I'm just thinking this through. It sounds like from the Gemara that if you didn't do Azar from coast number two, so then it's not Shirayim. That's what it sounds like. Right, but it's called Damu Yishbach, meaning Dam from the remainder of the Hazar. Right, no, oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. I'm not sure. Okay. So, Amar Papa Menamin Allah. So, the Gemara now is going to bring a source for Papa for one of his halachas. Meaning, there are many halachas that he just said over, right, 8 plus 4, 12 in total. But in other words, the Gemara now is going to grant us support for Rav Papa from the following. And again, one of the halachas that he went over was a special halach of kibbutz, meaning when dam chatos falls on a begin, so there's a special requirement of kibbutz. So, nitas minatzavar ala begin, ain't talking kibbutz. So here now, the Mishnah we're going to be seeing much later on, the Mesachta, but the Gemara quotes it over here as a support for Rav Papa. The Mishnah says that if, let's say, blood splattered from the neck of the animal onto the begin of the kohen. So in a tone, kibbutz, so there's no kibbutz requirement. Why? Because as it spurts out of the neck of the animal, it's not yet ro'i lahazah. It's not yet fit for the application. It's only going to be fit for the application after it goes into kli sharis. So at this point in time, it's too premature. And now, min hakeren u min hayesod, ein tone kibbutz. Similarly, if let's say blood splatters onto the beggar of the kohen after having been applied to the keren, or after having gone onto the yesod, so then ain't talking kibbutz, so then there's no requirement of kibbutz. Because over here now, we're post-hazah, meaning that there really is only a small window of opportunity where you have the special halacha of kibbutz begadim, of the laundering of the dam chatas that has gone into the clothing of the kohen. And that is specifically when it's ro'i lahazah, when it's fit to be sprinkled. So, now we learn the Mishnah together, and now Rav Papa is going to make the diuk. Hamina ro'i lekeren talking kibbutz. So the Gemara says, so what do you see clearly from this? That if it's royal keren, that if it's fit for the keren, so at that point in time, there's a requirement of kibbutz. Which is, if you go back now to the halachas of Rav Papa, so you see that of the halachas of Rav Papa, number 7 was kibbutz, meaning that the hazah of 2, 3, and 4 is going to have this kibbutz requirement. Again, what was the counter-argument? The counter-argument could have been, this is not a real hazah, meaning the real hazah is number 1. 2, 3, and 4 is la mitzvah, but it's not la kapara, so it's not a real hazah, so therefore it shouldn't obtain the status of kibbutz. What the Rav Papa is arguing, and what the Mishnah certainly seems to be supporting as well, is that roi lekeren means that as long as it's fit for hazah sakeren, regardless of which one, it's going to be chayv in the mitzvah of kibbutz. That's what the Mishnah seems to be indicating as a proof for Rav Papa. To which the Gemara says, I'm not so convinced. Because read the Mishnah and let's read the Mishnah again. Let's read it carefully. Ula ta'amech mina yesod ein ton kibbutz. So the Gemara says, now, if we're reading the Mishnah as carefully as we did just a moment ago, so you read the second half of the Mishnah and we'll read it with the same kind of care and consideration that we read the first half of the Mishnah. Meaning the Mishnah goes on to say that mina yesod ein ton kibbutz. That if, let's say, the blood, when being poured onto the yesod mizbech, splatters from the yesod onto the clothing, so then it does not require kibbutz. What would the implication seem to be? Implication would seem to be, and the Gemara spells it out, Hamina royli yesod ton kibbutz. Well, if it's royli yesod, meaning, if let's say it's fit to be poured onto the yesod, so that would seem to indicate that it would require kibbutz. But that is not a correct conclusion, because asher yazek siv prat lezeh shekvar huzah. Because as we pointed out earlier, the only dam chatas that needs, that has this requirement of kibbutz, is only that which is fit to be put onto the kronos hamizbeach. In other words, if this is now ready to be poured onto the yesod, where are we right now? I'll tell you where we are. We have already done hazahs 1, 2, 3, and 4. If it's ro'i liyesod, it means that we've done all 4, and now it's ready to be poured onto the yesod. At that point in time, the hazah has already been done. If the hazah has been already been done, so that, and if this blood were to land on the clothing of a kohen, it would not require kibbutz. But if you're reading the Mishnah carefully, like we did in the Reisha, and you do the same reading in the Sefer of the Mishnah, so the conclusion would seem to be an incorrect conclusion. Because it says only when it splatters from the yesod onto the clothing, it doesn't require kibbutz, implying that beforehand it does require kibbutz, but that's not true. In other words, as it's being ready to be poured onto the yesod, the kronos has already been completed. The hazah has already been completed. So in other words, so that conclusion is wrong. And Hamani Rab Nechemya. Now, according to Rashi, this is the end of the Gemara's question, meaning the Gemara now is finalizing its point, and the author of this Mishnah seemingly is Rab Nechemya. Did Nan Rab Nechemya Omer Shayare Dam Sheikri Mechutz Chayev? Where, according to Rab Nechemya, if I have Shayare Hadam, meaning, so now we're talking about where the Hazar has been concluded, and now all I have left is just the remainder of the blood which is going to be poured down the Yisod. According to Reb Nechemya, which we're going to be introduced to later in the Masechta, if that blood were to be offered outside of the Beis HaMikdash, one would be liable to halah b'chutz, meaning offering a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash. Offering a carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash, we're not talking about blood that was going to be sprinkled. We're talking about blood of the shayarim, of the leftovers, and he's calling that an avoda. So Reb Nechemya Amar Shayari Dam Sheikrim v'chutz chayev. So the Gemara now is saying that if you're looking carefully at this Mishnah, so the Mishnah gives us the indication that if I have blood that is ro'i liyasod, so that's going to have the status of avoda blood. Implied in the Mishnah is this idea that if it goes onto the beged, it needs kibbutz. And so therefore, this Mishnah is going like Reb Nechemya, and this would therefore seemingly not support Rav Papa. Because Rav Papa's entire point is that only the blood that is going to be going onto the Karen requires kibbutz, meaning, and not just on the first Karen, but on Karanos 1, 2, 3, and 4. And meanwhile, this Mishnah, with our new understanding of the Mishnah, that the Mishnah is following the opinion of Reb Nechemya, is coming to teach us that even blood destined to the Yisod is going to have this kibbutz requirement. So the Gemara says, I'm not so sure if this Mishnah is such a good proof. So the Gemara says, look, as far as Reb Nechemya is concerned, so yes, if I took the blood that was supposed to go into the Yisod and offered it outside the Beis HaMikdash, one would be chayav for halah b'chutz. That part's correct. I mean, Reb Nechemya says it. I mean, but that part's correct. But what you did, however, is you made the leap. And you assumed, well, if one is going to be subject to halah b'chutz, so then there's also going to be a kibbutz requirement. The Gemara says, but that's not necessarily so, and I'll tell you why. Because according to Reb Nechemya, blood that's supposed to go on the Yisod and you offered it outside the Beis HaMikdash. Do you know why it's subject to halah b'chutz? You thought it had to do with the fact that it has something to do with dam avoda, meaning its blood part and parcel of the avoda. Not necessarily. You know what it is? It's like a varma padarim, right? Parts of the animal that go up onto the mizbeach, meaning that's certainly a post kapara avoda, meaning kapara has already been achieved. In other words, but the mitzvah is to take parts of the animal and put it up onto the mizbeach. If I took a varma padarim, right, parts of the animal and the fats of the animal, they're supposed to go out on the mizbeach, and I offered it outside the Beis HaMikdash, am I subject to halah b'chutz? The answer, of course, is yes. So Reb Nechemya's view of the blood going on the Yisod HaMizbeach is like a varma padarim. And that's why one is going to be subject to halah b'chutz. But in terms of kibbutz is concerned, b'lenin kibbutz mishamaslei, but I wouldn't necessarily conclude that according to Reb Nechemya, there is a kibbutz requirement for blood that is going to be going on the Yisod. So the Gemara says, okay, that may be true of a hatanya, but the Gemara says, mishamaslei in. The Gemara says, no, I do know that according to Reb Nechemya, blood that's going to go onto the Yisod is in fact going to require kibbutz. How do I know that? The Gemara now is going to treat us to a brisa. We're on the top of Lamed Tes Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, "Va'atani." We'll learn the following brisa: "Dame matuunim yisod," blood that is going to go onto the yisod. So here, the brisa tells us now three halachas: one, tuunim kibbutz. All right. So right here, you already see it that there is a brisa. It's blood, not that's going to be sprinkled on the kronos, which for sure that blood is if going on the beged of the kohen requires kibbutz. But we're talking about post kronos. In other words, after the blood's been sprinkled on the cross, but before going on the Yisod, that seemingly is what the Brice is talking about. And the first halacha the Brice is teaching us is, to unim kibbutz, it requires kibbutz. Meaning, and presumably the author of this Brice is Rabbi Nechemya. Now there are two other halachas the Brice is going to teach us. Number two, the second halacha is machshava malas behem. That machshava, would be significant. Now that is really difficult to understand, but right now, let's just put it out there. A machshava would be significant for a dam that's going to go on the Yisod. And number three, amala man b'chutz chayev, that if I offered it outside the Beis HaMikdash, one would be chayev. And, so these are the three halachas of dam, the blood that is planning to go onto the Yisod. So, if we could just ignore number two for a moment, and just focus on halachas one and three, what do you see? A pretty clear correlation in the Braisa. that if it's the dam that is offered outside, which is subject to halacha b'chutz, which we know is the opinion of Reb Nechemiah, and then you connect it to the first halacha, which is that blood were to go onto the beggar of the Kohen requires kibbutz, so then you see, hainohach, meaning that there's a correlation between those two halachas. Now, the Braisa continues. Let's say blood was going to be poured down the canal. We know that if, let's say for whatever reason, a carbon is disqualified, and the blood is no longer usable, so serviceable, so what do I do with that blood? So there's a canal that runs through the Azara, and you pour it on, you just pour it right into the canal, and the canal gets flushed out of the Azara. So, if it's Dam Anishpach Lama, basically what we're describing over here is Dam Pasol. So, ain't an Kibbutz, so there's no Kibbutz requirement, because it's not blood that's going to be used as an avoda, and ain't machshava malas behem, and there's no such machshava that's going to affect them or regard them. It's kind of an obvious point, but and amala mem b'chutz pater. And if I offered it outside the base of mikdash, it should be pater because this is not something that's offered in the base of mikdash, and therefore one is not going to be liable if they offered it outside the base of mikdash. Now man shamas lei the amar male b'chutz. Man shamas le damar mala bechutz chayiv Reb Nechemihi v'kamar tan kibbutz. And now the Gemara makes a point that we already highlighted, which is that in the Braisa you see that there is a first halacha and a third halacha regarding blood that's going to go into the yisod. First halacha is that it requires kibbutz. Third halacha hamala bechutz chayiv. We know mala bechutz chayiv is Reb Nechemiah. We therefore have to conclude that the requirement of kibbutz is also Reb Nechemiah. So earlier we questioned whether or not those two halachas are necessarily correlated. From the Braisa, it seems that they are necessarily correlated. So the Gemara says, v'kam or tam kibbutz, fine. So the Gemara says, okay, but even as we are saying over this Braisa, the Braisa is really difficult because I know I bypassed it, but you know I told you I bypassed it. In other words, the second halacha of the Braisa is machshava. Machshava by the Shayari Hadam, meaning we're past the first, we're past 2, 3, and 4, which we know Machshava doesn't even apply to 2, 3, and 4, and we're having a conversation now that somehow there's going to be a Machshava by the Shayari Hadam. It can't be. So the Gemara says, Machshava malas mem v'atanya, yatsu shirayim v'aktarasi morim she'im akvin es ha-kapara, she'im Machshava smalas behem. So the Gemara quotes a Braisa, and quite frankly, I don't even know why the Gemara is quoting a Braisa, meaning from our Mishnah, the point is obvious. But still, the Braisa says it very clearly, that there is no Machshava as it relates to Shayare Hadam. In other words, it doesn't provide Kapara, and Machshava is not going to have any effect as you're pouring the Shayare Dam on the Yisod HaMizbeach. So the Gemara says, fine, you're right. Meaning, the Braisa, even though it opens up with the words, Damim HaTu'unim Yisod, but because machshava over here is significant, it can't be talking about the blood actually going onto the yisod. So kind of the Gemara says, Kitanya hi b'shash matan shebechatas. So the Gemara says, okay, so what the Braisa is talking about are the three matanos, meaning the hazaa of 2, 3, and 4. So the Gemara says, Yahachi tu'unim yisod l'karen azle. So the Gemara says, okay, but then the language of the Braisa simply doesn't read well. The Braisa reads Damim HaTu'unim Yesod. What do you mean Tu'unim Yesod? That are going to go down the foundation, the base of the Mizbeach. The Lekeren Azle. They're going onto the Keren. So Ema Nit'anen Yesod. So the Gemara says, okay, with a small correction of the Braisa, either we're editing the Braisa or we're editing our understanding of the Braisa, but maybe what the way the Braisa means is Nit'anen Yesod is that they're destined to the Yesod. Meaning after you sprinkle onto Keren's 2, 3, and 4, so then they're going to go on to the Yisod. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. Umachshava malas b'hem. Ha'amar lo shayev lo mefagla v'lo ayil lo gavan. Kisofan. But in other words, if we're talking about Azaz 2, 3, and 4, we all know the rule. Machshava does not affect Azaz 2, 3, and 4. Meaning the only time that a machshava is posel by the Avodah Saddam is only by Hazar number 1, not 2 and 3 and 4. So the Gemara says, so even as we are trying to give another pshat in the Braisa, we know that can't be the correct pshat in the Braisa. There is no machshava as it relates to Azaz 2, 3, and 4. So here we go now with another attempt at understanding the Braisa. Oh, so what the Braisa is talking about is blood that is of a chatas apnimi, meaning not dam of a chatas chitzona, but dam of a chatas apnimi. Okay, and here's now what the Gemara is entertaining. The Gemara is entertaining that we are talking, in fact, about the Shirayim, and here's what we know. We know that when it comes to Chatas HaPnimi, again, on Yom Kippur, right, two Karbanos are Chatas HaPnimios. And year-round, so there are other possible Chatas HaPnimios. Par Kohen Gadol, Par Halam Davar, the Chatas of Avodah Zarah. So, in other words, these are Chatas HaPnimios. So, what is the procedure of the Chatas HaPnimios? Dam is collected, brought into the Heichal, applied to the four corners of the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the Mizbeach HaZav, and then the Shayarim report on the outer Mizbeach. And what the Gemara now is considering is that these Shayarim are different than a standard Chatas Shirayim. Why? Because, the answer is simply, because it's part of the Chatas HaPnimi. And like we said earlier, and like what the Gemara now is suggesting as well right now, is that these Shirayim are in fact not only significant, but part and parcel of the Avoda. And therefore, if a Kohen was to have a Machshava during the Shayarim of a Chatas HaPnimi, so then it would in fact be a Machshava which is posel. So the Gemara says, Avabadam and Mechitzon in my Pater. So the Gemara says, okay, so now, so I hear you, and so effectively what you're telling me is that if this was a dam of a chatas chitzona, so then it would be punter. So then, aditni. So the Gemara says, so look, what was the Bryce interested in doing? Contrasting. Meaning the Bryce's contrast was shayarim of a chatas versus that the dam chatas that's going to go into the ama because it's puzzle and it's being disposed of. So the Gemara says, so I don't understand. If the purpose of the Bryce is to create contrast, so the Brisa could have done a wonderful job and not even have to move to a chatas which is puzzle. But in other words, by simply contrasting dam of a chatas panimi versus dam of a chatas chitzona. And it could read like this. Meaning, when are these words true? Meaning the Brisa's three halachas. Of tu'unim kibus, machshava molos behem, hamala behem b'chutz chayev. So that's going to be true by damim ha'panimim. However, avabedam ha'mechitzonim, pater. So, but when it comes to damim ha'chitzonim, so in all three of these halachas, so one is going to be pater. On all three of these halachas. Meaning, couldn't the Braisa have made that contrast? And if that's true, that obviously would have been a much better contrast. Going from one type of chatas to another type of chatas, as opposed to what the Braisa in fact chose to contrast, which is a chatas which is kosher versus a chatas which is pasul. So isn't that a better contrast? Why didn't the Braisa make that contrast? So the Gemara says, Hamani Reb Nechemihi. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because the author of the Braisa is Reb Nechemia. And the Amri Shayari Adam Sheikrivam Bechutz Chayev, that who is of the opinion that Shayari Adam, which is offered out of the Beis HaMikdash, out of the Beis HaMikdash area, is in fact going to be Chayev. So that's why the Braisa couldn't have contrasted the inner Chatas to the outer Chatas, because the author of the Braisa is Reb Nechemia. And it was not possible to teach an exemption for Hazaz 2, 3, and 4 as contrasted to a Chiyuv of Hazaz 2, 3, and 4. So in other words, what comes out now is that the author of the Braisa on the top is in fact Reb Nechemia. And so therefore, to the question now of is there going to necessarily be a Hazar requirement, a Kibbutz requirement for Hazars 2, 3, and 4, so from the Bryce above, we simply don't have any proof. All we were able to do was simply contrast the Shayare Dam of a Chatas Panimi versus that of Chatas Chitzona. But in terms of Hazars 2, 3, and 4, we simply do not know. So in other words, going back now all the way full circle, remember, all this started with Rav Papa saying that when the Hazah 2, 3, and 4 were to land on the clothing of a Kohen, immediately prior to Hazah 2, 3, and 4, so there would be a requirement of Kibbutz. Just like we know there's a requirement of Kibbutz for blood which is going to go on Karen number 1, so too said Rav Papa there's going to be a Kibbutz requirement for Karanos 2, 3, and 4. And the Gemara quoted the Mishnah. Mishnah seemed to support Rav Papa, but after a thorough analysis of the Braisa, the Mishnah originally quoted seemingly is not going to be supportive of Rav Papa. Ravina Amar, Ravina says, look, let's go all the way back to that Mishnah. Remember, all this started with the Mishnah that we saw on the bottom of Lamed Chesam and Beis. So the way the Mishnah read was, Nitas min etzavah la begedein utam kibus. If blood gets sprinkled from the neck of the animal onto the clothing of the Kohen, does not require kibbutz. And then, min ha-keren u-min ha-yesod, ein taun kibbutz. And from the kronos and from the yesod, it does not require kibbutz. Now, when we first presented the Mishnah, so we said, so in other words, if it's Raila Karen, in other words, fit to be sprinkled on any one of the kronos, it would require kibbutz. And that would have been a support for Rapapa. Why did the Gemara deflect? Because the Gemara says, well, what about min ha-yesod? Doesn't that mean min ha-Raila yesod? And we all can agree that that blood does not require kibbutz. So in other words, the Mishnah seemingly is not supportive of Rapapa. To which now Ravina is going to go all the way back to the Mishnah, and Ravina says, let me take a crack at reading that Mishnah. And Ravina says here, here's how I would read the Mishnah. Ravina Amar, mina karen mamish, mina yesod, mina ra'ili yesod. And Ravina says here, here's what the Mishnah means. That when it says mina karen, so it means literally from the karen. Meaning, if the blood sprinkled from the karen onto his clothing, so then that's it. In other words, no need to do kibbutz. Why? Because it's post-hazah. However, when it says mina yesod, what the brisa means is not mina yesod, but mina ra'ili yesod. Meaning something which inevitably is going to go down the yesod, but not actually the yesod itself. So, amalei rav tachlifa bar gazal ravina, ima ida v'ida ra'ihu. Well, the Gemara says, well, I don't understand. You're not reading the Mishnah consistently. Meaning, if you're understanding that Karen is Karen Mamish, so then you should say the same thing with the yesod. If you're saying the yesod is ra'ili yesod, so you should say Karen is ra'ila Karen. Meaning, what now gives you the ability to take the Mishnah, make a diuk in one part of the Mishnah, but not a diuk in the other part of the Mishnah? Hi, Mai. The Gemara says, no. That in of itself is not convincing. Because, hasha ra'ila Karen amart lo, ra'ila sod mi baye? Because let's consider. In other words, if it's ra'ila Karen, meaning, if it's not something which is yet fit to be offered on the Karen, but in other words, something which will eventually be going on to the Karen, you said that does not require kibbutz. So Raili Yesod Mibaye. So if it's something which is fit to go down the Yesod, in other words, is that point necessary? In other words, that point now becomes so obvious. Ela mina Karen Mamish. So Karen means Karen Mamish, meaning it actually literally came off the Karen. And mina Yesod mina Raili Yesod. As opposed to Yesod, which is something which is fit to go down to the Yesod. That's how Ravina is going to read the Mishnah. Comes out now that according to Ravina's reading of the Mishnah, so it would in fact be a support for Rav Papa. Rav Papa who says that any blood that is going to be going on any one of the kronos has this kibbutz requirement, and the Mishnah does seem to support, at least according to Ravina's reading of the Mishnah, seems to support such a reading. Okay. Adkan, that's the first half of today's daf. So the first half of today's daf is again an analysis of Hazas 2, 3, and 4. We know Kapar is achieved with number 1. We know Machshava only occurs with number 1. Hazas 2, 3, and 4 is the mitzvah in the Torah, but not there to provide kapara. How is it regarded vis-a-vis so many of different halachas of dam which is sprinkled on the Mizbeach? So Rav Yochanan and Rav Papa basically discuss and describe how they are viewed vis-a-vis all the halachas that we were discussing up until now. And the last Amud of Gemara was at least an attempt to be a support for Rav Papa on one of his 8 halachas, specifically the halacha of kibbutz. We're now starting the next bit of Gemara, Tan Rabbanan. I'm sorry, calling Tanim on Mizbech HaPanimi. We're going now back to the Mishnah, and as in contrast to the Adam Mizbech, where the Chatas, the first Hazah is essential for a Kapara, the other 3 are not providing a Kapara, but just simply a mitzvah. When it comes to the Chatas HaPanimi, when I'm doing the Avodas Dam, when the Kohen is doing Avodas Dam of the Chatas HaPanimi, so you hit the 4 corners of the Mizbech HaPanimi, and you have to hit all 4 corners of the Mizbech HaPanimi. If you miss one of them, so Kapara has not been achieved. So all 4 corners are Le'ikuva. That's what we learned in the Mishnah. We also learned in the Mishnah, if I could just remind us, we also learned back in the Mishnah, let's say you did 3 of them correctly with no bad machshava, and you did 1 of them incorrectly with a bad machshava, chutzuzman or chutzum kamo, so it's psul of aimbo kares. So the carbon becomes disqualified, but there's no kares. So why is there no kares? Meaning, right, we point this back in the Mishnah, but let's chazer again. So why is there no kares? Meaning, if all 4 of them are essential, and all 4 are necessary for the kapara, and you and the machshava are doing 1 of the 4, so the Mishnah says, well, you disqualify the carbon, but there's no kares. So why? So Rashi back in the Mishnah explained, I'll tell you why. Because, in other words, if you have a machshava ra for 1 of the 4 corners, that's considered chatzi matir. In other words, we know that in order to create pigol, so you have to have a machshava of pigol during the avoda, during one of the avodas. But what if you don't have it during the entirety of an avoda, but you only have it for a fraction of avoda? So this is what's called being mefagel b'chatzi matir. Our Mishnah, says Rashi, subscribes to the position that when you're mefagel b'chatzi matir, it can't create pigol major, meaning it won't create a pigol chiyuv kares. It will disqualify the carbon, but it won't create pigol chutzas mano kares. That's how Rashi explained the Mishnah.
Who eats those kabbats? There are two chats that are put by the Kohen Gadol, right? Who eats those? One is the one is for the Kohen Gadol himself.
No, chatzas panimi, no one eats them. In other words,
no,
they're...
Kares
for offering, kares for the Imurim. In other words, but in terms of consumption of the carbon, no one's going to, they're burnt.
Would be that person's life,
or any, I'd venture guess anyone who offers the Imurim up on the Mizbech. Okay. Kol Nitanu on Mizbech HaPanimi, so Tanu Rabbanan. V'aser ka'asher asa. So, if you look at the structure of the fourth parak of Ayikra, so there are, the Torah first introduces us, before the Torah introduces us to the regular chatzis, so the Torah first introduces us to the special carbon chatzis. That first of the Kohen Gadol, then Parhelm Davishol Tzibor, then of the Nasi, so that's the structure of parak Dalet of Ayikra. Now, as we transition from the first carbon chatzis, that of the Kohen Gadol, to the second one, Parhelm Davishol Tzibor, so the Torah gives us the instructions for both of them. They're pretty much identical instructions in terms of how they are to be offered. There is a subtle variation between them. In fact, if you take a look at Rashi, I'm not going to go through it right now. If you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi does note the subtle differences that exist between the two, but in terms of the avodas that are mechaper, the Torah's instructions are the same. So, when the Torah then says, Va'aseh ka'asher asa, you know what you're going to do with the par helm davishol tzibor, you treat it the same way you treated the par of the Kohen Gadol. Now, after reading the two parshios right back to back, like, we knew this. Meaning, you can read the instructions in the Torah, and they're nearly identical. So we knew that already. So these words of the Torah are superfluous, and it allows now for a drasha. So, in other words, what the Torah is basically doing over here is purposes of repetition. When the Torah gives repetitive instructions when it comes to avoda, we know the rule, we've seen it time and again, and we're seeing it again right now. Shina hakasav la'akev. That when the Torah gives repetitive instructions, it's because they're essential. Limesh im chiser achas mikola matano so asav lo klo. And by missing one of the corners of a chasas apnimi, meaning, because remember, we're describing the par Kohen Gadol and the par Helm Davishol Tzibor. These are two chatzos apnimios, and by virtue of the fact that the Torah is telling us, you do this the same way you did that, so that's repetitive, and that's telling us, shina kasav la'akev. And if you missed any one of the four, lo asav lo klom. Ein li ela matan sheva shema'akvas b'chol makom, matan dala minayin. Now, there are two azaz when it comes to the chatzos apnimios. One, seven in the direction of the parochis. Two, the four of the four corners. Right now, the Gemara assumes that we have established that for the seven, they're essential. What about for the four? Tamalomer, Kein Yasa. So the Kein Yasa is coming to tell us that it's not only true regarding the seven Azos, it's also true regarding the four. Lepar, the Pasuk now, Lepar also superfluous, that Par Shiyam Kippurim. This is a reference to the Par of Yom Kippur. Kasher Asal Lepar, top of Lamatesam and base. So when the Torah describes Kasher Asal Lepar, that Par Kohen Mashiach. That's a reference to the Par Kohen Mashiach. Later, the Gemara is going to explain what the Braisa is trying to inform us over here. Hachatas elu seiri avodas kochavim. This is the seir of avodah zarah. Seir of avodah zarah also have a din of a chatzos apnimi, and they're also going to be treated the same way in that all the avodas adam are essential. Yalchush animar be'af seirei harigalim seirei roshei chadashim. So the Gemara says, well, maybe I'll include also the Seirim of Yantiv and the Seirim of Rosh Chodesh, which are Chataos, which are Mechaper. First two Prakim of Shavuos, remember? We discussed at length in detail in terms of what exactly each one of the Chataos are going to be Mechaper for. But they are a Chatas Tzibor, which provides Kapara. I might have thought the same halacha should apply to them as well, in that every one of the Avodas is essential. So Tamalamer Lo. So the Torah says, lo. Lo is a miyud that comes to minimize. So the Gemara says, Amare idla rabba says, elu lahaut says, elu. Okay. So in other words, I'm including the carbon of the seir of Odazara, and I'm excluding that of Yontav and Rosh Chodesh. So ulahotzi yaseilu achashariba akasuv miyat marba ani yaseilu shemecharpim al averas mitzvah yidua umotzi ani elu sheim mecharpim al averas mitzvah yidua. As we discussed in the first two parakim of Shavuos, the carbon chatzos of Yontav and Rosh Chodesh are for possible violations, meaning for possible tumas mikdash v'kadashav. So for that, meaning if there, let's say, was a shogeg of tumas mikdash v'kadashav, so then the chatas of Yontav and Rosh Chodesh are going to be mechaper. But in other words, but therefore averos which are inan yiduin, masha'in kain, the seer of avodah zara, obviously known. V'chiper afa pishlo samach, v'nislach afa pishlo nasan. The Gemara continues the darshan from this pasuk. Kapara, even though smicha was not done. Meaning, obviously, preferable smicha be done with these karbanas, but if smicha is not done, it's not me'akev. And nislach, afapish l'nasan shirayim. And nislach tells me that if I didn't pour the shirayim, so still a slicha will be provided. Ma'ari isa lifsol ba'azos la'achshev esmicha v'shirayim. So the Gemara says, and why? In other words, why are we saying that the hazar are essential, but smicha and shirayim are not essential? Amar posel ba'azos ma'akvos b'chol makom, so here we have a precedent, meaning we know that generally speaking, smicha and shirayim are shayari ha-mitzvah, meaning they're mitzvos, but they're not essential mitzvahs when it comes to other avodas. So over here, even though we're talking about special carbon chattises, chattis of pnimios, but still over here we're going to follow the regular rules of karbanos, which is that since smicha and shayarim are generally not ma'akev, so here too as well, we know that there is an exclusion, so it's mistaber to say that the exclusion would be for smicha and for the shayari hadam. Okay, let's recap today. Today we talked about the various halachas of the hazas 2, 3, and 4. They're not mechaper, but it's a mitzvah, and therefore what? So therefore, various halachas that they're going to be treated like the hazar rishona, various halachas in which they're going to be treated like shayari. Then the second half of today's daf, we talked about the chatzos of pnimios. Chatzos of pnimios, the hazas, every one of them are essential. The Gemara based it on a drasha of that pasuk that tells us that the par kohen gadol on the par helm davar shel tzibur, just like you did one, you do the other as well. That is purposes of lashanos, that's repetition, to tell us that they are every one of the hazas are going to be essential. What aren't essential is going to be smicha shayari adam. And what's included, other chatzos of panimius, what's excluded, chatzos of chisoni, even though they're chatzos of tzibur.